Good morning. You are listening to the Aggie Morning Word radio show and podcast on Aggie Radio on KBLU LP 92.3 in Logan, Utah. Morning news the modern way. Today on the show, we're going to have some great stories. PokeWatch 2016 Pokemon yes. Sun and Moon is now available for pre-order from the Nintendo eShop. The special demo edition has released as of me saying this.
Thanks for waiting for us, Reggie.
For Reggie.
Yeah. No, it was supposed to release at 7, and it never did. And so I was really hoping that it'd be ready by the time you read that. And it actually was. Surprise, surprise.
And in more political news, we are going to have Democratic Representative Peter Clemens, Dr. Clemens, running against Rob Bishop in Utah's 1st District. We will be having him on the show over the phones, so stay tuned for that. That will be coming up in just a little bit later, but right now let's go to Kat with the weather.
Yeah, so today it's 31 degrees. It's going to get up to 50, so a little bit cooler than yesterday. There's only a chance of rain, but I'm going to bet that it's going to rain.
Yeah,
so it's probably going to rain.
It's been raining for the past few days, but... Yeah, so I suppose you listeners in would like to know who we are. I'm Peter LaBarge.
I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Joe Steven.
And we're going to move on right now to our word of the day, being panegyric, speech praising someone, laudatory words. So if you're keen on, I want to say flattery. I almost said flatulence, but that's not the right word. If you're keen on flattery, then this word, panegyric, is for you.
Which is how we always talk about Trump.
Yeah. Joe, what happened on this day in history?
On this day in history, in 1867, the U.S. took possession of Alaska and had it become one of the 50 states.
If I'm not mistaken, they fought, you know, all the bears... And
all the bears, all the moose, all the wild animals up
there.
The
Great Bear War of 1867, you know.
Right. Yep, that would be
I think
correct.
They bought it for like $300.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's too much. It's probably more like $150.
Yeah. $150 without tree fitty.
But also, that's not news. Everyone knows that. October 18th, 1867.
The Great Bear War of 1867.
Yeah. You learn that in history class.
Today is also No Beard Day, which is every day of my life, because I can't grow a beard.
Same here.
So if you are beer clad, today's the day to shave it off, and tomorrow's the day to start regrowing it.
Apparently.
Which, is it worth it? I don't know.
So some local events at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., we have the Effective Communication Workshop at Counseling and Psychological Services. This workshop is an opportunity to learn effective communication, basic assertiveness, and other helpful interpersonal skills. So
cool. We also have another one, being a Halloween study break from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., a special event in the College of Engineering, where you can come and relax away the midterm stress with Halloween movies, crafts, and cookie decorating. That doesn't sound much of a study break. Maybe it's a break from study?
Yes, yeah, that's the point.
Ain't nobody
so it's
got
like,
time for that.
It's meant to be, you know, like it's at 6 o'clock, that's usually when they have them, and it's like you've been studying all day, and it's like, I'm going to go take a break and make a pumpkin spice cookie shaped like a pumpkin, decorated like a pumpkin, and you know, and then give it to some white girl who really needs it.
See, with my sort of schedule, that's about the time when I would start studying, 6 o'clock. So, but yeah, for all of you overachievers and underachievers, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. we got a Halloween break. Please come around. It's at the College of Engineering.
Free cookies.
But yeah, once again, you're listening to the Aggie Radio KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah, and we're going to jump into. We're going to keep it going, I suppose. We're going to be setting up the interview to get ready with Peter Clemens in a little bit. But yeah, let's keep going into our international news.
All right. So Iraq forces paused the Mosul advance. The front lines of the east of the IS held. city were largely quiet, with gains being consolidated a day after Iraqi Kurdish forces advanced amid a barrage of U.S.-led airstrikes and heavy artillery.
In Russia, Syria is halting Aleppo strikes. So a Russian official says a temporary truce later in the week would enable militants to leave the besieged northern Syria and open humanitarian corridors.
What's this Aleppo I keep hearing about?
We should have Gary Johnson on the show to explain what this Aleppo is.
Climate change could wreak havoc on space fence. Scientists tell AP rising seas from global warming could threaten nearly $1 billion in radar installation that the U.S. Air Force building in the Pacific, which is trying to stop dangerous space junk from coming back.
I'm always afraid of dangerous space junk.
Mm-hmm. I'm always afraid of junk, but
we have a short little bit of political news. It's kind of tied in with national news today, but Michelle Obama emerges as Clinton's go-to surrogate. In a divisive political year, the First Lady is wowing voters with her powerful rhetoric and emotional center, as she usually does. Mm-hmm. We always look forward to Michelle Obama's emotional center. Wipes away tears.
Who is Obama reserving his final state dinner for? Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi will be attending a glitzy affair that features celebrity chef Mario Batali in the kitchen and a performance by Gwen Stefani.
Wow, that is definitely glitzy.
Very.
Yeah, also, glitzy, that's an interesting word to use there. and this is all for me, as we all know.
All for Kat.
Yeah, as we all know, I'm a world-renowned Italian food critic, and, you know, we need the Italian Prime Minister and Mario Batali cooking in order to really weigh in on this.
So Mario Batali sounds like a soccer player. Is that weird?
Have you never... No. You know who he is, right?
I don't.
He's from Iron Chef America. He's the redhead.
The redhead? Bobby Flay?
No. Bobby Flay... has the same luscious locks as Mormon Jesus.
Mormon Jesus. The only Jesus.
Yeah.
Moving on into national news. Excuse me. U.S. policy leader laments historical racial abuse. Leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement say words need to be backed by actions, while the head of an officers' union in Minnesota says there was no need to apologize.
And this co-pilot unaffected by the human condition. Government and industry officials are collaborating on an effort to replace the second human pilot in two-person flight crews with robots.
Robots taking over the world. Upcoming raises are negligible. For the fifth straight year, millions of Social Security recipients and federal retirees will get only tiny increases in benefits next year.
And Billy Bush, which is a fun word to say.
Billy Bush.
Great name. Gets walking papers. NBC News fires the Today Show host, who was caught on a 2005 tape in a vulgar conversation about women with Trump before the Access Hollywood appearance.
It's good that they're finally stepping up and, doing what the rest of America should have done.
Stepping up and making him step down.
Removing a person that says certain comments from a position of power. America, what are we doing? Joe, we have a lonely story here about some sports. Do you have other sports stuff to expound on today?
I do as well. All right, but first, the Cleveland Indians are one win away from a first pennant season since 1997.
Wow.
Right? Jason Kipnis and Mike Napoli, homer. And Cleveland's bullpen pulls off his most impressive feat yet in these AL playoffs, holding off Toronto 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a big lead.
That is a big lead.
Are they going to be at home next game?
I'm not sure about that.
That would be a big game.
That would be a very big game for all you Cleveland fans.
Lots of Cubs fans were, so excited, being like, the Cubs, the Cubbies, they're going to win their first pennant in years,
yeah.
And they couldn't. They choked. They couldn't clinch it out. So the Cleveland Indians are so close.
Very close.
So close.
Very close. With that, we're going to jump into sports. Football, a lot is happening with football. So the San Francisco 49ers decided to go back to Colin Kaepernick as their starting quarterback, but they had the same results, losing 45-16 to the Buffalo Bills. Coach Chip Kelly will decide to keep Colin Kaepernick in as the starter for this next coming week, but we're probably going to be expecting the same results for all you San Francisco 49er fans out there.
Gotcha.
Me being one of them. So, there we go.
Sports news.
All right.
Cool.
So, Tom Brady, he may have started his season late, but it's going strong, coming off another big win against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
All right. The Chiefs and the Raiders, their rivalry is still going strong, but the Chiefs beat the Raiders on Sunday for the fourth consecutive time and for the sixth time of the last seven.
Oh, man.
Which, to be honest, to me was a little surprising because the Raiders have had some very good momentum. They're doing very well this season.
Good at raiding.
Yeah. Oh, I just got that. Anyways, the Chiefs are continuing to win that. In a very tight game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks, the very controversial last play for the Atlanta Falcons, where Richard Sherman and Julio Jones were all going up for a pass, and there was blatant pass interference by Richard Sherman, but there was no flags on the play. And Sherman took to Twitter to defend himself over the controversial play, and we'll wait to see how it all pans out from there.
I'm sure it will be riveting.
Probably.
That's Joe Stevens reporting on some great sports news. Thanks for tuning in. We're not quite finished yet. We have some great content coming up. For those of you tuning in just now, we are Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah, the Aggie Morning Word podcast. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have an exclusive interview with Peter Clemens. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Aggie Radio. Dr. Clemens, are you there? Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi. Is this Peter?
Yes, this is Peter here on Aggie Radio. To all of you listeners in, this is Dr. Clemens. He is running against Rob Bishop for Utah's first congressional district. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Cool. So in this interesting time of political discourse and political turmoil, how do you keep sane? How do you keep going with all of the interesting folk you're running against and also that perhaps might be our next president coming up in November?
Sure. So, you know, I think I'm, you know, I'm sort of a data-driven guy. I'm pretty analytical, and I try not to get too high or too low and try not to get too emotionally involved and to just kind of look at the issues the way I think my voters and the American people need to have people in a clear-eyed fashion looking at. And so, you know, my craft is that of a physician. I've devoted my career to medicine. I served in the public health. I've taken care of the troops. I taught at a medical school. I'm a primary care doctor and also a specialist. And so I think I think I look at the situation and kind of see it as a problem to solve.
Very sure.
And I feel like I'm a pretty pragmatic person as opposed to a really terribly ideologically driven person.
You look to have the steady, meticulous doctor's hands to guide America to profitability.
Well, I hope so.
Cool.
Yeah, right.
With just touching on that, since you are a physician, I assume then some of the most hot topics for you differ quite heavily on Bishop's platform.
Well, so I am very concerned about, you know, healthcare, you know, and particularly healthcare costs. And frankly, spending 20% of our GDP on healthcare is just not sustainable. Our budget problem really is mostly a runaway healthcare costs. That's a far bigger issue than, frankly, than the solvency of Social Security in terms of our budget. It's just a massive amount of money that we're spending. The next closest country in the developed world is Germany, spending 15% of its GDP on healthcare, and that gap, you know, just doesn't sound a lot, but if we were spending 15% rather than 20%, we'd have a lot of money for important infrastructure development that we need to be making in our country, frankly.
For sure.
Infrastructure being education. I think that I see our young people as our most important infrastructure. They're going to be the ones who are going to, you know, solve the problems of the next generation years to come, and then obviously brick and mortar type of infrastructure like roads, bridges, highways, airports, high speed rail, good strong high speed internet to rural communities. And those are all things that we need to be doing to continue to lead the world as the world's number one economic power, and we can't really get there until we solve this problem of runaway healthcare costs.
For sure. Yesterday, you finished up a amazing debate for the first congressional district at the Browning Center in Weber State. How do you feel that debate went? You know, shaking hands with Rob Bishop before and I assume after the heated debate. How do you think it went?
Yeah, we actually shook hands three times, I think that we had a cordial relationship up on the stage. I think there were some sharp divisions in our policies, and it was important to me to make a clear distinction between Mr. Bishop's same old, looking to the past rather than to the future. And I feel kind of bad in a way. It seems that Mr. Bishop is fixed in this narrow ideological construct that he's made, and I don't think that he can look outside of that very efficiently to really problem solve. And that's where I think I can be helpful. So, I think I presented my ideas. I hope I did it in an appropriate and civil way. I think I did. And but there are very significant differences that I feel responsible to the voters in the first district to address.
One of those differences being how you would handle what's going to be happening potentially with Hill Air Force Base. Is that correct?
Well, I think so. I don't know that anybody knows the mind of the Pentagon in advance, but there's talk about cutting spending and cutting out inefficiency and possibly some base closures as early as 2019. I think Hill Air Force Base plays a very key role in our nation's defense, both ICBMs, and maintenance of the ICBMs, as well as its important mission with the fighter squadrons that are positioned there, and it also provides a lot of service and repair to a wide array of weapon systems. So it's very important. Of course, there's the test range that's very important as well, and all of that needs to be maintained, and a congressman needs to be very attentive to what's going on there.
Definitely.
And I believe that I will be more attentive than my opponent, frankly, based on the people that I've talked to out there. And I do think that there's something to be said for the likelihood that there's going to be a Democratic administration. I think that a civil working relationship with a Democratic administration is important to keeping that base open.
Let's touch a little bit on your stance with public lands. In the debate, you have mentioned quite frequently that Bishop holds a lot of power. That he, it's almost not impossible to beat him, but he's amassed, you know, kind of this founding and in support. Would you say that your stance on public lands would be maybe the tipping point in this election?
Well, so the Public Lands Initiative is a bill that has that's working its way through Congress, through the House of Representatives. I think it's first of all, I think it's unlikely but possible that it might pass the House of Representatives. It will certainly not pass the Senate, and would certainly be vetoed by President Obama. I feel secure in that. It is truly a massive reorganization of wilderness study areas and public lands for the extractive industries, and opens them up to oil and gas. The face of Utah would look very different if the Public Lands Initiative were to be enacted, which I don't think it has any chance, frankly, of being enacted, because it's a very extremist bill. I think if there had been a Jim Matheson, for instance, or a Peter Clements, who were involved in the process of crafting this bill rather than Rob Bishop and Jason Chaffetz, I think it would look very different. And I'm not opposed to the idea of there being some certainty about our public lands, but this is not a compromise bill. It just is not. It rolls back airshed protection in wilderness and national parks. It creates a network of roads throughout Utah where they're in roadless areas, in every cow track and game path. It virtually redefines wilderness. It allows for communication facilities and helicopters and chainsaws and all kinds of things to come into wilderness. I mean, it really corrupts the Wilderness Act.
So I
just think that a lot of it also, you know, as I mentioned last night in the debate, hunters and anglers are concerned about the Public Lands Act initiative because there's the real potential that it will reduce access to the land for these people. Finally, I mentioned it's a massive land grab from the Native American tribes. And I think, you know, I just don't think that most people who live in Utah want to see this sort of a change in the way we manage our public lands.
For sure. Especially under recent events with the Dakota Access Pipeline and other efforts that have been made against Native Americans. I think that's definitely a hot topic for a lot of Utahns, seeing the violence.
Well, you know, and Peter, I mentioned last night that, you know, that Congressman Bishop was a lobbyist in the 90s and for 3 years, and he tried to bring nuclear waste into our state to be buried in shallow burial areas at EnviroCare, which became Energy Solutions. You know, now it's Energy Solutions. At that time, he was a lobbyist for EnviroCare. And this nuclear waste was 10 times hotter than what we were allowing in Utah. Someone from the National Institute of Science described it as, quote, hotter than hell. It was just below... a step below, you know, it was low reactive nuclear waste, but it was the hottest of that type of waste. And, you know, I don't know that I trust our current representative when he says that there's no plan afoot to privatize these lands. That doesn't seem to square with what his philosophy is regarding land and resources generally.
It's a land grab. It's you know,
I
redistributing and potentially unfairly.
I think so.
Interesting. Well, Peter, Dr. Clemens, thank you so much for being on our show. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners to have them know more about you?
Well, you know, I think there is a clear difference in terms of, you know, who we're supporting for president as well, and I think that's quite telling. You know, Senator Mike Lee, who I don't think of as a flaming liberal, Senator Mike Lee has disavowed his support of Mr. Trump because of some of the things that he's seen with Mr. Trump in terms of his policies, and then of course having to do with the statements that have come forward about women that Mr. Trump has made, and the notion of advocating for sexual assault against women, I think, doesn't sit well with Utah congressmen. So I call on my opponent, Mr. Bishop, to retract his support of Donald Trump and do the thing that's principled rather than looking at his political party standing. I just can't understand how my opponent can continue to endorse Donald Trump in light of how unfit he is for the presidency by his own words and actions. So that's you know, another area where there's a clear distinction between myself and Mr. Trump. Mr. Bishop, excuse me.
Well, and I think as well with the comments Trump has made, not just in recent light of these tapes that were released, but realistically throughout his career and throughout now his run for presidency, it's almost, you know, a moral shortcoming of sorts to support this man nowadays.
Well, I guess you know, Mr. Bishop's constituents need to press that on him, because evidently he thinks that this re-election is just such a cakewalk for him that he doesn't really need to care about whether Donald Trump embodies Utah values, because he clearly does not. I think we all know that. So, yeah, well, it was really great to talk with you, and it's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you so much for coming on. For everyone else, was Aggie Radio.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was an exclusive interview with Peter Clemens. He is running against Rob Bishop in the 1st Congressional District. This is the Aggie Morning Word podcast on KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I actually had one question for him that I was sad that able to get a word in edgewise. But my question, of course, was, you know, what could we do to support his campaign, individually, like, other than turning up and voting for him, because as I've found out recently, I will not be able to vote this year.
Oh no.
Due to a lot of reasons, you know. Just mostly the fact that I'm Canadian, and in Utah, we, as a Republican state, we want to do everything we can to keep people who aren't, white cis straight men from voting.
Well, I think besides the fact that we share the same name, first name rather, which is, you know, already leading me towards voting for him. Just kidding. I've more of a resolve than to vote for someone with my same name. But I think he faces a very difficult position, because Rob Bishop, again, holds a lot of power in our Utah voters.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. Again, I was going to say, I really liked what he said, and I would say I know who I'm voting for, but guess not. I guess I don't know who I'm voting for. I'm not voting for anyone. I guess I do know who I'm voting for. No one.
How about you, Joe? What'd you think?
It was good. Everything that he was talking about, I mean, I feel we just need a politician that's willing to just, you know, stand up for what's right morally nowadays, instead of just what, you know, the people want to hear.
Gotcha.
And what the people want. Obviously, we need to do what the people wants. That's part of democracy. But I don't know. I just feel like we need a politician who's just not afraid to stand up for what's morally right.
So, speaking of politics, let's jump into a little bit of local politics.
Let's do.
So, former Utah Governor John Huntsman could mount a campaign for Senate in 2018 as an independent candidate.
Oh, no.
So,
Utah GOP Chairman James Evans says he's received death threats after he had suggested President Bill Clinton fathered an illegitimate child with a prostitute during a nationally televised interview. Staffers for the state GOP have been dispersed to different locations as a result.
Another poll suggests Utah could be a swing state. The Rasmussen survey has Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Evan McMullen in a statistical three-way tie.
Wow.
Not anymore, because the voting laws here. Anyway, sorry, I'm so mad because this is going to eliminate mostly college students. Anyway, Doug Owens has raised twice as much money for this year's congressional bid than he did during his 2014 campaign. So, and Senator John McCain, who I am now deciding to call John McClane. anyone? Die hard?
Nope.
Suggests no. Senate Republicans would block any Supreme Court nominee put up by Hillary Clinton.
Oh, great.
Unfortunately, what is it, like 80% of Congress, both the House and the Senate, are up for re-election, so good luck blocking anything with the front runner of your party being Donald Trump.
State Department Undersecretary Patrick Kennedy repeatedly lobbied the FBI to declassify emails from Hillary Clinton's private email server.
Melania Trump defended her husband, Donald Trump, saying he was egged on in a tape that showed him bragging about sexually assaulting women. She also said allegations of sexual misconduct against her husband were lies. She also says she hopes to address negativity on social media as First Lady.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what we know as the Hitler defense, right? Oh, well, he had a lot of people in his cabinet who were, you know, egging him on, telling him to, you know, do more and more and filling him up with heroin, you know? So it's not really his fault.
Well, I think, too, we all know what Melania does on social media, so I don't think that's a good image.
Steals
for
Michelle
our first
Obama
lady.
Posts?
Yeah, that, too. We just talked about this, but Republican Rob Bishop and his Democratic challenger Peter Clements, who we just had on the show, clash over public lands and Donald Trump during their debate at Weber State University, which took place yesterday. There's more on that in the Deseret News and the Salt Lake Tribune.
And an internet poll from Doug Owens' camp suggests his race against Mia Love may be tightening ahead of the election day, or ahead of election day.
And lastly, South Salt Lake Mayor Sherry Wood vetoes an attempt by the city council to strengthen nepotism ordinances. Five relatives of Mayor Wood are currently employed by the city.
Nice.
Oh, great. For those tuning in now, we are Aggie Radio on KBLU 92.3. This is the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
I was just going to say, let's jump into science.
Yeah,
science?
Let's move into science. Our first story is a little interesting for some of you. You may not care, but for some of us, we actually love pretty much all things science. Mm-hmm. But this first side story is researchers are now using beer waste to make batteries. The process is pretty cool. Essentially, with brewing beer, it creates massive amounts of wastewater that has to be treated before being disposed. Instead of using energy to treat the wastewater, researchers in Colorado are turning it into battery electrodes. The secret lies in a fungus called Neurospora crassa. The fungus turns magnesium in beer wastewater into electrodes, and it not only creates highly efficient electrodes needed for batteries, but it also cleans the wastewater in the process.
And that video has some lovely images of beer being poured into glasses, and can I say, ugh. speaking of, just because that reminded me, today we're drinking Cafe Ibis coffee. In fact, yesterday we were drinking Cafe Ibis coffee. And basically every day since I've moved to Cache Valley, I've been drinking Cafe Ibis coffee. But the important thing here is that we here at the Aggie Morning Word podcast love the Aggie, or blah, man.
We love Cafe Ibis.
Thank you guys for jumping in. I dropped the ball. You guys picked it up.
They are the fuel for this show every day.
Yes.
I would not be here this morning had Cafe Ibis not supplied us with delicious coffee. So thank you for that, Cafe Ibis. Moving on into more science news, there's new software that gives sight to the blind. A teenager built an app that gives sight to the blind using a phone's camera. AVI, scans the world for objects, people, and text. And it then uses audio to tell the user the information it found. That teenager, the 19-year-old Juan Pablo Ortiz, created the app to help his sight-impaired friend in Guatemala. The app can identify a prescription and can tell someone what type of money they have. AVI can also identify the gender and age of an individual. Whoa, did that app just assume gender?
So, yeah, I've seen this type of technology before. Essentially, this is the issue with, like, gender software.
Liberals beware.
Well, no, I mean, like, the big issue with, like, this gendering software is essentially if you're not a Mormon girl with, like, the super soft cherubic skin and round face, it's not going to. What it's based on, and this is a really, really sexist thing, but this is literally what they created the software to do, which is they took what they thought was the ideal human face, and they said, well, that is female. We have determined not objectively that the ideal human face is female. So the closer you are to the ideal human face, the higher you rank on this scale. So you look at like Alexa. We used this software, and I think it said that it was 96% certain that she was male. And it was less than 50% certain that I was male, but it still decided male because I am not close enough to the ideal human face. It's a bit weird.
Obviously, it's not a perfect algorithm.
Yes.
But hopefully, yes. You know, with the efforts of, you know, Ortiz with his new app, which I think is pretty cool that it at least can read. It's like a text-to-speech sort of thing through the camera.
Well, and I think you can teach it, like, your friends' faces and stuff, too. So you
facial
can, like,
recognition. Which probably is uploaded into the servers for Big Brother to then be able to, you know all of our friends as well.
Oh, they already follow us everywhere. They know everything we've ever done. No.
A couple last stories on science news. Thanks to a brain implant, a paralyzed man can feel again. President Obama even showed up to congratulate the man, Nathan Copeland, with a presidential fist bump. Apparently there's a kind of a robotic hand. Copeland has been paralyzed since he was a teenager. 5 years ago, he volunteered for a research team at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And the team first implanted chips in Copeland's brain to connect to a robotic arm. Surgeons then put in chips to the area of the brain that senses touch. To test the new chips, researchers touched each finger on the robot's right hand, and Copeland had no problem identifying the location of the touch. So, have you ever seen that video with the phantom touch? It's kind of like a magician's video. Have you not seen that?
Oh, no.
It's really cool. So essentially they put your two hands on a table. They put a divider in between it so you can't see your other hand. Okay? But what they actually do is in place they put a fake hand, a prosthetic hand. So it looks like your hand and then a prosthetic hand and you can't see your hand, but they take a brush and they like brush your real hand, then they take a brush and brush the prosthetic hand while simultaneously brushing your real hand. So your brain is tricked into thinking that the prosthetic hand is your real hand because it's seeing it, and it sees that the brush is brushing the fake hand, but you're feeling it. So then they take a hammer and slam the prosthetic hand. And people actually, like, reported that they had felt physical pain, when in actuality it was just the brain being tricked into thinking that its real hand was smashed. It's cool, yeah. But...
It's pretty cool.
And so that's something that you...
Something similar.
It's related to synesthesia and synesthesia. Another thing that I think everyone's probably experienced, hopefully, it's 2016, right? You guys have all experienced ASMR.
Yeah, right. Those videos don't do anything to me.
Yeah.
They don't. Maybe I'm just...
So it's actually you have to have synesthesia. You have to hear sounds as feelings in order to really get the ASMR experience. But
ASMR, they're videos to mimic, like, euphoria. It's crazy. We're getting into some crazy stuff.
So do you guys listen to music when you're in bed? Like, do you like to... Listen to music while you go to sleep?
Not usually. I can't fall asleep if I do.
Of course.
Well, there is a new pillow that allows you to listen to music as you sleep. So it is, I can't remember exactly how it works, but it vibrates, and so as you put your ear against it, you can hear the music, but no one else around can.
So essentially all sound is airwaves, mm-hmm. which then cause, you know, the inner ear to vibrate.
Right.
So then essentially, have you ever seen those toothbrushes that have music in them, mm-hmm. where they vibrate your teeth and you could hear music in your head?
Yeah.
It's a similar concept where it translates the music into vibrations.
And in this case, you can just plug your smartphone into it and listen to whatever you want, and no one else can hear it but you, and you can just lay your head against the pillow and hear the music.
My mother typically falls asleep to conference talks.
Oh,
so this would be the best pillow for her.
Yeah, the Isaac's mom does too. It's terrifying.
It's, you know, if you want to listen to old men lull you to sleep with fire and brimstone, this is the pillow for you.
Yeah, whenever I want to do that, I just listen to old-timey televangelists from the 30s. Of course, back then they were radio. What would you call that? They're not televangelists because they're on the television.
I don't know. Radio-vangelists?
Radio-vangelists.
Isn't that what we are? Bringing truth and preaching all day long.
There are some really great old preachers who would talk about they kind of helped stir or create the hippie movement, where they were talking about finding God by doing drugs in the 30s and 40s, and you can listen to these old timey time recordings where it's well, if you wanted to know more about this, you could just do some LSD. Nothing it's so creepy.
It sounds creepy.
Yeah, it is. So are we ready to end the show?
You know, I don't really want to, but it's, you know, the best things are short-lived. We're going to end with a quote by Justin
McElroy.
I apologize. Reminder, keeping an open, humble heart to people who live different lives is the lowest bar we as humans have to clear. Thanks for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast on KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah. I'm Peter LaBarge.
I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Joe Steven.
And we will catch you later.